Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
an ongoing conversation
with ministry leaders
about embracing complexity
and uncertainty
with joy
and faithfulness.
Hi, I'm Amy Valdez-Barker, and I am with the Ministry Collaborative, and I'm so excited to be here with Reverend Joe Clifford. He is the senior pastor at Myers Park Presbyterian Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's been there for 7 years, but I had the wonderful privilege of getting to walk a very long journey with Joe. We had the wonderful opportunity of meeting one another at Glacier National Park and walked 12 miles in a full day, which I discovered was nothing compared to what he had done over the summer. So I am really excited to enter into this conversation with Joe about his personal experience and his sabbatical this summer. So Joe, can you tell us a little bit about your summer adventures and where God led you?
Yeah, it was an amazing summer, Amy, and I'm happy to be able to talk about it. And it's the first sabbatical I've taken in 26 years of ministry. So it was a real gift. And I really wanted to be a good steward of that gift. So I worked in a lot of planning, and I was very intentional about creating experiences that informed my work in family systems theory and my own family of origin. And so the first thing that I did was I took a 2-week hiking trip in Ireland and went around the Kerry Way, which is in southwestern Ireland in County Kerry, around the Iveragh Peninsula. The hiking itself was 10 days, and it was an amazing journey. My father's family immigrated to the United States from Ireland, from County Kerry. And so I actually began by attending Mass in the parish where my great-great-grandfather was baptized.
Oh, wow.
In Milltown in County Kerry, and started in Killarney and went around the peninsula and finished in Killarney, and that was an amazing journey. So that was the beginning of the sabbatical. In July, I had a number of family reunions with my mother's family and with my in-laws, and then I took a trip up to the Northeast to connect with my cousins from my father's family. So that was amazing. And then in August, was out in Glacier with you, and my wife joined us the week after the Ministry Collaborative week, and we enjoyed more hiking out there. So it was amazing. Yeah.
Well, I want to focus in on that Kerry Way experience. I mean, that's 124 miles that you did over 10 days. And you chose to do it alone, right?
I did.
Not with anybody else, not with your wife, just by yourself. So what made you decide to do that? And what was the experience like?
My spouse is an amazing partner, and she was trying to figure out a way to go with me. And there was this, like, really pivotal moment where I had to say, honey, I don't know how to explain this, but I really feel like I need to do this alone. And she did not understand that, but she supported me in that. And part of the isolation for me was in the concept of differentiation of self in family systems theory. One of the principles is self-definition. And spending time alone, you really get to know yourself. And you're not pretending to be somebody for anybody else. You're just yourself. And I think in our faith walk, that's also incredibly important. As pastors, we're sort of professional Christians, and we're always on. And so to just have time alone with God in the wilderness, it's kind of biblical. And it was an amazing experience. I was reading a book by Belden Lane called Backpacking with the Saints, and he's got a line, "My chief reason for hiking is to walk off an inordinate attachment to words. Hmm. I'm there to let the mind empty itself, usually after a long period of overuse. I follow my body instead as it focuses on the demands of the trail." And his words really resonated with me. I think when you're walking with other people, there's a lot of conversation. But boy, when you're alone, and when you're alone on the Kerry Way, which is very rural, I would see a handful of people a day over the course of 6 to 8 hours. You're by yourself in rural Ireland, and it was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And you said there was a word or a breath prayer that sort of kept you going each time.
Yeah. One of the disciplines that I did was Loyola's First Spiritual Exercises. He's got 4 retreats that each last 4 weeks. And the first retreat, the first 2 weeks of that involve reflecting on being loved and embracing God's love for you and considering how you love others. And the second week of that, there's a series of mantras for each day. The first day was three phrases based on John's gospel. I abide in your love. I am enjoyed by you. I feel complete in you. And the second day was, I dwell in your love. I am one in you, and I am at home in you. And then the third day, I remain in your love. I am at peace in you. I feel alive in you. And then the fourth day, I am inseparable from you. I love you. Thank you. And what these did for me, I would say them to the rhythm of my walking. And as in all meditation, there were times where my mind wandered and there was gorgeous scenery all around me. But especially through the boring parts of the walk, you know, when there wasn't that, or the hard parts when we were climbing up a hill, or to me, I'd have 30, 40,000 steps a day. You remember walking down that loop trail 4 miles downhill, it was pretty monotonous. And to say to the rhythm of my walking, I abide in your love, I'm enjoyed by you, I feel complete in you, hundreds of times, if not thousands, was a remarkable experience. I just sort of marinated in those words. And I'd never thought about God enjoying me. I am enjoyed by you. You know, and what does it mean that God enjoys us? God takes joy in our being. And to think about that, that was really a new thought for me. I mean, it's throughout the Bible, right?
Yeah,
and
it absolutely
talks about how we bless the Lord. And to imagine that our lives have the capacity to bring God joy.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful concept. And I'm thankful to Ignatius Loyola for teaching me that.
Well, and I think one of the things that I absolutely loved about our journey together was this enjoyment that you really embodied, but then also saw it everywhere.
Yeah.
So when we were on, you know, on our hike, you would see heart rocks.
Yes.
And that you would be very intentional about finding them. Tell us about that practice of heart rocks and what they mean to you.
Well, I started this a while ago. I noticed a stone that was shaped exactly like a heart stone. And I was amazed by it. And then I started noticing them everywhere. And there's actually a book about this. A member of my church, I talked about it one time in a sermon, and a member of my church gave me a book about heart stones. And I don't know that there's an International Heart Stone Association. I haven't found it yet. But, you know, I think about the psalmist saying, creation proclaims the glory of God. And you see these rocks that are millions, if not hundreds of millions of years old, shaped like a heart. So as I would see those on the way, I would tap them with my hiking sticks and I would say, I love you too, to God. And I can do this. Your love strengthens me and empowers me. And so I can keep on keeping on. And so when I hike, I typically keep an eye out for heart stones.
Yeah. Well, you got to tell us the story about this interesting encounter that you had at an Irish pub.
Yes. This was an unanticipated day off. I had come in from a hard day where I got lost. I missed a turn and added 4.5 miles to my day, which I did not need to do. I was grumpy and I was at this pub. I got the last chair at the pub, sitting next to a guy who was rolling a cigarette. Then I realized it was a little more than a cigarette. He said to me, you're not Garda, are you? You know, police. And I said, no. And he said, what do you do? And I said, I'll give you three guesses. And the first guess, he said, are you a solicitor, you know, a lawyer? And I'm not. And his second guess was, are you a priest? And I said, why on earth would you ask me if I'm a priest? And he said, well, you've got a godly way about you. And I thought, well, your first guess was a lawyer, so I'm not sure what that means. But to make a wonderfully long story short, he asked me what I was doing the next day. And I said, I'm walking to Sneem, and I was in Cahir Daniel. And he said to me, change of plans. I'm taking you to the Skellig Islands. And the Skelligs are a remarkable place where the Irish version of the Desert Fathers went out there in the 6th century to these two rocks shooting out of the sea. And on top of the large one, they built a monastery. And they worshipped and served God there for 1,000 years before the English shut them down. And it's a World UNESCO Heritage Site. If you've seen The Last Jedi in Star Wars, you have seen the monastery on top of the Skellig Islands. It's where Luke retreats to. And I had an amazing experience. It was unbelievable, changed my life. Anytime I think I've got it bad, I think about the life of those monks on that rock out in the Irish Sea. You know, I think, yeah, suck it up, buttercup. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it.
Well, tell us about, like, even the staircase that you kind of described.
Oh, yeah. There's 618 steps to the top of the rock and where the monastery is. And there's no guardrails. I mean, and they have signs like, people die doing this, so don't be stupid, and more eloquent than that. But it was terrifying. It took me 20 minutes to get up, and it took me like 35 minutes to get down because I was so afraid going down the steps. I didn't want to misstep because if you did, you're going to fall off the rock. And there are puffins everywhere, which are these beautifully adorable birds. They're nesting. There's all kinds of migratory birds that call the island home from May until August. So it's you and the birds. You're out there, and it's amazing.
Yeah. And I imagine like Luke Skywalker out there yeah. by himself. You know, I mean, this place became famous because of
Star Wars. But there was a guy out there who was like my age in a Jedi outfit. And I thought, man, this is a place where people actually dedicated their lives to God and in amazing ways and endured tremendous hardship. So it's got a lot more going on to it than a movie set.
Yeah.
There was a vibration about that place. It just, I've never been to any place like it. The hair on my body was standing up. It was amazing.
It was holy ground.
It was holy ground.
Holy ground.
No doubt.
Wasn't it the monks of St. Fionnan who were there and they dedicated their lives to praying and gardening?
Yes. And fighting off the Vikings as they didn't fight them. They just got killed by them. But one of the abbots of the monastery was taken to Norway by a Viking group and ended up becoming the patron saint of Norway.
Oh, wow.
They were so impressed with their dedication because they had killed the previous abbot. And yet the monastery kept on going. What was really interesting to me was how threatening that monastery was to the world.
Mm. Yeah.
The world was threatened by it. All the powers of the world and the powers of the church were threatened by it. They established Benedictine orders. They wanted them to join their order. And when they wouldn't, they oppressed them. And here are these guys gardening and living on a rock in the middle of nowhere. Why is everybody so afraid of them? And I think it's got something to do with they were tapping into a power that the world does not understand. It's kind of like Jesus' message was love one another. Mm-hmm. Why was that such a threat?
Yeah.
The power of love to undo the powers of the world is a scary thing for the powers of the world. Why would the Vikings kill a monk? I mean, he wasn't a threat to them.
Yeah.
And yet, yeah. Maybe they were. Mm. So I wonder about the church in our day to the degree that we embody love.
Yeah. The power of Christ through love.
How are we a threat to the world and what does that mean for us?
Yeah. It makes me think about how this experience for you really sort of rejuvenated your soul. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, I was very intentional about being with unchurched people. And that was amazing because I spend my life with church people. I work in an institutional church. I teach. I do pastoral care. I'm in administrative meetings. And then socially, I mean, my life is centered in the church. And it was really wonderful to be with unchurched people, to be with them for the sake of relationship with them and not to try to get them to join my church or to hear their struggles. And I did a lot of driving on my trip, and I'd see in rural America all these churches and all of the signs and the jump houses and everything that we're doing to try to draw people. And it was like, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to come to your program. There was a realization that the only hope for connection is through relationship. And then I realized that's what God did with us in Christ. The only hope for connection was through relationship. So if we're not in relationship with unchurched people, what does that mean for the future of the gospel? Not the future of the church, the future of the gospel. How can people understand God's love for them and God's enjoyment of them and God's purpose for their lives if we're not in relationship with those folks. So that was a huge insight. The other thing is, I'm an Enneagram 8. I learned, we had a workshop yesterday with our senior leadership team, and as an 8, I carry the weight of the world. And the first month I was back from sabbatical, people said to me, there's a lightness about you, Joe.
Oh, beautiful.
No one's ever accused me of being light. I'm a pretty big guy. So I think that that was something, it lightened my burden.
Amen.
It was so much fun. And I just had a blast. And it was the best summer of my life. And I'm so thankful to my congregation for making it possible. And it makes me realize the biblical gift of Sabbath, that Sabbath's not something we earn. Sabbath is a gift. And God gives it because God knows we need it. And so how can we practice Sabbath in our lives? Very few of us get the blessing of a sabbatical, but boy, the importance of Sabbath and the gift that it brings, it enables us to be who God's calling us to be. And without it, I don't think we can.
Yeah, amen. I mean, it's such a good word to remind all of us in ministry that Sabbath is necessary. Sabbath is that gift. And without it, we really aren't operating at our best that God calls us to. And so, Joe, this has been a huge gift to get to talk to you about how important both the sabbatical was and how that particular sabbatical experience just transformed your life. I lived vivaciously through it.
Thank you. And one of the great blessings was meeting you, Amy, on our journey to Montana together. That was amazing. Yeah, I hope we get to have lots of experiences going forward. It's great to be with you.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation.
The Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network
of pastors and congregations
committed to faithful,
creative,
and courageous engagement in their communities.
Our producer is Marthane Sanders.
To find out more about our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference
in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.